We just heard a tune called Rare Bird Alert. It was written by Steve Martin. Yes, the famous comedian, actor, writer, and you may or may not have known, pretty good banjo player. And that's the title track from his CD with the... oh, this is just stupid. I suddenly forgot your complete name.
Oh, it happens every night.
Steep Canyon Rangers. I'm going to do this whole thing again, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I didn't write it down, and he doesn't write it on... yeah, it is right on the wrong on the cover, on the wrong cover. Sorry. We'll try that again.
Sure.
We just heard a tune called Rare Bird Alert, which was written by Steve Martin, as in the actor, comedian, and writer, and you may or may not have known, pretty good banjo player. And it comes from, well, it's actually the title track for a recording that he's released with a group called the Steep Canyon Rangers, and they are touring together, including a number of Midwestern performances. The one nearest our listening area is at the Effingham Performance Center next Wednesday. And although it is sold out, I thought we'd at least draw attention both to Steve Martin and his banjo playing, and certainly to the Steep Canyon Rangers, and also to the Effingham Performance Center, because I understand that's still a fairly new venue. On the phone with us is, I think, the leader of the Steep Canyon Rangers. His name is Woody Platt, sings, plays guitar, does a lot of the writing, and we're pleased to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
So what was this? How did the Steep Canyon Rangers get started? It wasn't all that long ago.
Well, it's longer than you might think. We were in college 10 years ago, and we started our band just a group of friends, really. It wasn't the kind of typical thing where musicians come together. It was friends coming together, and I think that's why we've been able to maintain a kind of the same lineup and stay on the road for 10 years.
And you were all students at the University of North Carolina?
Yeah, we were in our senior year in Chapel Hill when we decided to start playing. We literally had been hanging out together the entire time. And we got really interested in the music at the same time and all just got the instruments and really focused in on it and took all of our different musical backgrounds and put it right into a bluegrass band.
So what are the musical backgrounds?
Well, mine was, I played some horns as a kid, and then I was really interested in the boys' choir when I was growing up here in Western North Carolina, and so that was kind of my intro into it. And
so horn meaning French horn?
Horn meaning trumpet and baritone.
Trumpet and baritone.
And our banjo player was a saxophone, jazz saxophone player, and our bass player played some classical bass in the symphony, and our mandolin player played classical guitar. And our fiddle player played classical fiddle at Berkeley. He's the only guy who didn't go to Carolina, and he studied classical violin at Berkeley, and then got it just taken with bluegrass. And so that's where we all came from.
So at some point, you just decided we like this music. Let's learn these instruments.
Basically, yeah. We were in Central North Carolina, where Chapel Hill is. It's just a real bluegrassy kind of area and surrounding rural counties there, and we just got into it and went and met some of the kind of people playing more traditional bluegrass and learned and eventually got it figured out.
Well, yeah, learned pretty well. You've only been around for 10 years and you've had some pretty good gigs, certainly showing up on a Prairie Home Companion, which our listeners will know since we air that show here on FM 90.9.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you get hooked up with Steve Martin?
Well, we have known Steve's wife, Anne, for a long time. You know, I've known her through my family for 10 years or so. And so eventually she met Steve, and, you know, they got engaged and everything, and she brought Steve to Western North Carolina for a vacation and invited us to a dinner party since we knew each other. And we just showed up with our instruments, and he had his banjo, and one thing led to another. We had a nice little informal jam after dinner, and we all got along really well, and the music kind of clicked right off the bat. And Steve, eventually, not long after that, was going out to support his first record, The Crow, and we got the job as the touring band.
And I want to go back to the story of your knowing his wife. I was reading the notes to this recording, and he said something about you actually took his family on boat rides or something like that.
Something like that, yeah. And here in Brevard as a kid, and then through college, I was worked as a fly fishing guide, and that's what I did when I was growing up, and that's what I did for money in college, and I still do it some. But that was just my first meeting with Ann and her family was as a trout fishing guide. So that was the original kind of connection. And
so you were a student, like a high school student at that point, and she was.
That's when I was in college.
You were in college.
When I guided her and her family on the river.
So Steve comments in the notes here, "I'm lucky that charming Woody probably smelled like fish oil." Otherwise, I guess he's implying you might have run off with her before he got the chance to even find her.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, I love the liner notes. He's brilliantly funny all the time, and he definitely did a great job on those, yeah.
So he did write all these?
Yeah, he wrote the liner notes, and he took a lot of time and put a lot of energy into that. And he takes a lot of pride in everything he does musically. It's pretty amazing.
So how does he rank as a banjo player? He sounds good to me, but I don't know how does he fit in?
Well, it's not really about fitting in. It's just he's very unique, which is better than fitting in, I think. He has his own style, and it's a great style, and he writes his own songs, so he can't really be compared to, you know, people, songs and players that people are really familiar with. And that's kind of been our band's approach also, is just to be original and really be yourself. And Steve's a great player. He's an absolute great player. He can play really fast. He can also play really emotionally. And, you know, he writes the songs, so it's just the total package. And we're honored every night to be on stage and help him carry out these songs and deliver them to the audience.
Well, here's a tune from the Rare Bird Alert CD that has some wonderful opening harmonies with all of you singing, and then he shows off a bit as a soloist, and then gradually the tune builds up and adds everybody to it. So I thought maybe we'd hear one of Steve Martin's songs. He wrote the words and the tune, "More Bad Weather on the Way." And Steve Martin with the Steep Canyon Rangers will be at the Effingham Performance Center on next Wednesday. Sold-out show, but you can always visit them vicariously and check out their website for other shows that are going there. And we're talking with Woody Platt from the Steep Canyon Rangers right here on Live and Local.
More bad weather on the way.
The tune was called "More Bad Weather on the Way," and it was written, music and lyrics, by Steve Martin, who had the opening banjo solo. And the singers and backup band are the Steep Canyon Rangers. Their guitarist and lead singer. Is it fair to call you the lead singer, Woody?
Yeah, they call me the lead singer and guitar player.
Woody Platt's with us here on the phone. They're going to be at the Effingham Performance Center on Wednesday, next Wednesday. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about the collaborative process with Steve. As you said, he writes all the tunes on this record anyway. And a few of them, he credits that everybody came together to create the tunes. Is most of what you play on the show his tunes, or do you mix it up?
95% of the show is Steve's original music. And we've been lucky enough throughout all the touring experiences, you know, we've done like 80 or 90 shows together. And we've been lucky enough to, you know, just riding on the bus or sitting backstage or staying with him in LA and different places, we've been lucky to just collaborate on music, because one thing I've noticed is he is always thinking about the next song and always interested in something new and fresh. And, you know, when we're on the road, there's nothing better to do than create new music. So we've been involved in a lot of collaborations after the show, late night, sound check, and a few of them made the record. But on the show, you know, we do all Steve's tunes except for a little part in the show where he leaves the stage and lets the Steve Kenyon Rangers, us, have a few songs and let the audience hear kind of the differences between the collaborative thing and then just us. So that's really generous of him, and it shows, I think it really shows his confidence in what he's doing and his generosity towards us.
He pays plenty of compliments to your banjo player, Graham Sharp. How do the banjo duties get divided up when there's both of them on stage?
Well, you know, there's two styles of banjo. There's a clawhammer style, which is played without the picks, more of a frailing thing. And then there's a three-finger style, which is played with the picks, and it's a more modern style. And if Steve's doing one, Graham will do the other. You know, Steve switches back and forth a lot between the two styles, and Graham will oftentimes just do the opposite. And, you know, Graham's a great musician and has really figured out how to stay out of the way and fit in the holes, and he gets his own solos on quite a few tunes, and Steve features him. And it's almost fitting, if Steve is such a lover of the banjo, it almost makes sense to have two banjos up there.
How common is it for banjo players to play more than one style? The ones around here that I've encountered seem to, you know, they usually say, oh, I play this way, and the other guy will say, well, I play this way.
All right. Well, I think a lot of banjo players play one or the other. It's not uncommon to play both, but one is a more old-time style, and one is a more kind of bluegrass style. And you do find a lot of bluegrass players who stay in the three-finger kind of Earl Scruggs style, and then the old-time players mainly stick to a frailing clawhammer style. So Steve is really good at both, and that's not that common, just to find players that can do both so well. I don't even know which of the styles that he does that I prefer, because I think he's kind of equally proficient at both.
And apparently Graham Sharp right up there as well. If he is equally proficient at both of his, he can just switch off like that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, he's a great player too.
Let's hear one of the collaborative tunes. This is it's kind of a funny one, as he comments in the notes. The title is entirely and intentionally misleading. Women like to slow dance. I'm just going to read here. He says, one day I mentioned to the Rangers that I thought it would be fun to have a song called Women Like to Slow Dance and have it be lightning fast and sung by a slightly dense narrator, and they agreed. And so this resulted, and this is one of those collaborative compositions. How did the process happen to create this song?
Well, I have to give credit to our bass player. He's one of our Charles Humphrey is one of our Steve Kenyon Rangers songwriters. He just, you know, heard Steve make that comment, and we messed around with the chorus a little bit. And Charles took it and got into a co-writing situation with a friend of his from home and presented us with those verses, and Steve kind of written the chorus and the melody, and it was a last-minute addition in the studio. I was literally reading the words off the paper, hoping to make it happen. So it was, sometimes that's fun, you know, something you don't expect, to make the record, making the record, and then being, you know, people really like the song, and it's got a quartet vocal on it. It features a lot of voices and a lot of fast picking.
And how do you feel about being designated as a slightly dense narrator?
Well, I need to reread those liner notes. I thought there was something that I said, so I decided I wouldn't sing it. I can't, you know, I'll have to check that out.
Well, we're talking with Woody Platt, who's a singer and guitarist with the Steep Canyon Rangers. They're being joined by banjo player Steve Martin at the Effingham Performance Center on next Wednesday. And they're a couple times in Kentucky in our area, and they'll be in Midland, Ann Arbor, and Grand Rapids, Michigan to wrap up their Midwestern tour. You can check it out on their website. What is your website, by the way, Woody?
SteepCanyon.com.
SteepCanyon.com. And this tune is called Women Like to Slow Dance on Live and Local.
Women like to slow dance, they like it for the romance. If you won't have a chance, you gotta learn to slow dance.
tune is called Women Like to Slow Dance. Steve Martin wrote it along with one of the members of the Steep Canyon Rangers, Charles Humphrey, and then also credited here is Philip Barker. Who's Philip Barker?
Oh, he's just a local Asheville musician. He has his own band called Town Mountain, and he and our bass player often collaborate, and we've been lucky enough to be able to record some of the tunes they've written together.
And this comes from a recording Steep Canyon Rangers did with Steve Martin called Rare Bird Alert. And they'll be at the Effingham Performance Center next Wednesday. Woody Platt is with us from, you're in North Carolina, right? Right now.
Sure am, yeah. We just got home from a run and we're off till we head out onto Lexington next Tuesday.
That's Lexington, Kentucky, where a friend of mine is right now, as a matter of fact. I wonder if I should, he'll be gone. He won't get to go hear you. This next song that I want to play from the record is this, which is all a cappella harmony, which is really nice, including Mr. Martin joining in. How much of the singing does he do normally?
Well, he sings lead on maybe two songs on the show, and he sings on Atheist song there, and he sings on a surprise closer, that couple surprise closing songs that we have. He's quite involved in the vocals, and it's fun to include him. Singing a quintet on the Atheist song with Steve is a nightly thrill.
And he gets to be the high tenor,
especially
at the end. Well, here's his introduction from the notes. The tune is called Atheists Don't Have No Songs. And he says, because gospel is so intrinsic to bluegrass music, I thought there should be at least one gospel song that represents those who might not be religiously inclined. And I think the rest doesn't really require any explanation. So we'll just give it a go. These are all the vocalists of the Steep Canyon Rangers with Steve Martin here on Live and Local.
Christians have their hymns and pages.
Hymns and pages.
Habaneguilas for the Jews.
For the Jews.
Baptists have the Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages.
Atheists
don't have no songs.
Don't have no songs.
That song was called Atheists Don't Have No Songs, and sung by the five gentlemen of the Steep Canyon Rangers, plus Steve Martin. Steve Martin wrote the song along with Graham Sharp and Woody Platt. And Woody Platt is my guest here on Live and Local. Steep Canyon Rangers and Steve Martin going to be throughout the Midwest over the next couple of weeks, including in Effingham on next Wednesday at the Performance Center there. Did Steve share with you most of the background for these songs that he wrote up in such a humorous way on the CD?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, he wouldn't record a song if we didn't want to do it. You know, so we, you know, Steve's not like, he doesn't force the material, which is really wonderful.
What do you mean by that?
Well, he doesn't say this is a song and this is how it goes. He says, here's an idea, here's a song, what do you think about it? You know, what can you guys do? What are your ideas? How can we arrange this song and make it work in the show? And would it be good on the record? And I love that about songwriters that are that way. And Steve's that way. And he's really humble with his ideas. He's confident with it, but there's nothing worse than somebody saying, this is how it goes. It's better than somebody saying, what do you think about this? And I think that's the key to collaborating. And that's how the whole record and the whole working with Steve has been. And that's why we're excited to do it.
Before we play the last song, I wanted to ask you about other collaborations you guys have done. I mean, have you worked with other sort of headliner type performers, or is this your one time going out not as yourselves, exclusively as yourselves?
We've done some collaborating some collaboration on the spot, you know, on stage here and there over our career with big time bluegrass performers, or, you know, we did some stuff with Brandi Carlile, and we did some stuff with Colin Hay for Minute Work, but those are all spontaneous kind of things. This learning someone's material intentionally and going out and touring it with Steve is the only thing that we've ever done that isn't Steve Canyon Rangers, you know, just us.
So how did the, I assume there was a rehearsal process involved for you to learn the tunes and.
Yeah, well, a lot of the tunes on this record were developed on the road. You know, the first tour was basically us taking his record, his previous record.
Called The Crow.
And just learning the material and having a couple of days of rehearsal and putting them in a good order and working on a show. But now, you know, these also are all songs that we've kind of developed together, and so it's a little more natural and it's a little bit more us.
And do they change from show to show?
Songs don't change. The running order changes and the banter changes. I think it should be mentioned that it is a Steve Martin show, so there's some pretty wonderful MC work between the songs.
So even though Steve Martin, I noticed in reading from somewhere or another that he really wants to focus on conversations about banjo playing whenever he does interviews about this, he can't seem to keep Steve Martin, the comedian, off the stage.
No, you can't. That's who he is. It's part of what he's done on stage, and that's part of what people expect when they come to see him. And I don't think he feels obligated to do it. I think he looks forward to being funny in between the songs, and we love it. It's just I think it's a really wonderful combination of music and fun.
But no arrows through the head.
No, there's very little kind of flashbacks to his earlier shticks.
It's just Steve Martin and the Steve Canyon Rangers.
Yep.
Well, here we're going to go out with an up tune here. It's an instrumental called Northern Ireland. What did he tell you about the background for this song, Woody?
Well, it's Northern Ireland.
Ireland. Or, so I didn't mean to say Ireland. Ireland, yes, Northern Ireland.
That's part of the stage show there, so don't worry about it. But, you know, he just finished a movie in Canada, and he bought a painting called Northern Ireland. And that inspired the instrumental, and it's a great instrumental. It really moves, and it's very effective in the show.
Music by Steve Martin. Our guest has been Woody Platt of the Steep Canyon Rangers. They are with Steve Martin on his tour, and they'll be at the Effingham Performing Center next Wednesday for a 7:30 sold-out show, unfortunately, unless you call them up, and maybe they'll release tickets at some point, but you can check out their website. And for more on the Steep Canyon Rangers, go to steepcanyon.com.
That's it.
Thanks, Woody, very much for joining us on Live and Local.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.